Today, an unbelievable reaction to the latest unemployment data. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, Web Latest Post covering finance and property news. A quick look at the latest social media posts and the media reporting will give you the impression that the unemployment rate in Australia just went through the roof, and so rate hikes from the RBA are off the table. A rise in the unemployment rate to its equal highest level in almost 5 years last month suggests the economy is softening at a faster clip than economists expected. But folks, this is simply not the case. First, yes, sure, the headline unemployment rate in Australia did rise unexpectedly to 4.5% in July, as reported by the ABS. That's the equal highest level since November 2021, as 15,800 people lost work. Before the release on Thursday, the consensus forecasts were expecting the jobless rate to hold steady at 4.4%, with 12,000 more people finding employment. The 80,200 strong jump in employment last month, though, smashed market expectations and then bolstered fears of another interest rate rise. But some economists have since scaled back those calls, though markets still see an implied yield of 4.51% by March next year. That's according to the ASX 30-day interbank cash rate futures. And after the numbers were released by the ABS, the bond markets priced in a 16% chance of a borrowing cost increase at the Monetary Policy Board's meeting in September, rising to a 53% chance by December. Sure, that's down from 20% and 62% respectively before the data was released on Thursday, but that means that rate rises are certainly not off the table. But if you look more closely to two decimal places, the reported unemployment rate was actually 4.46%, rounded up to 4.5%, compared with a 4.43% last month when it was rounded down to 4.4%. So yes, 0.03% difference. So while the labour market is possibly tightening a little, and perhaps in line with RBA expectations, this is only a minor uplift and it may change on revision ahead. More importantly, the employment surveys deployed by the ABS continue to be highly volatile. After a strong June, we were to expect a weaker July. In fact, many Western countries are struggling to report accurate employment numbers, with surveys not being very accurate and subject to significant revisions. So to some extent, the data compass is broken when it comes to measuring employment. And of course, the definition of being employed is really quite specific, and some would say unhelpful, as I've discussed many times before. And in fact, the ABS warns you should exercise a degree of caution in interpreting short-term changes. The trend data, they say, provides the better measure of the underlying behaviour of the labour market, as it removes notable month-to-month volatility. You betcha. Estimates of changes throughout this release, they say, are calculated using unrounded level estimates and may be different from, but are more accurate than, movements obtained from the rounded level estimates. Again, absolutely correct. And the ABS told us that for the June 26 data release, the ABS adjusted the influence of around 2,700 respondents, around 6% of the June sample, in one rotation group in New South Wales and Victoria. This was done by using adjusted weights in line with their well-established methods to ensure, they say, that the labour force data is representative of the population. Well, I smell a bit of number wang there. After receiving the data for July, the ABS reviewed those adjustments in conjunction with the additional month data, and it was determined that the weighting adjustment for New South Wales was to be removed for June and not applied to July. And they went on to say, extensive investigation into this rotation group with the additional month showing that ongoing adjustments were not required. Though applying the same process to the Victoria, they said, it was determined that the Victoria data in the one rotation group did require a weighting adjustment for July, following on from the weighting adjustment applied in the June data. And the ABS said they're going to continue to monitor those rotation groups as they continue to progress with their time in the survey. And they also told us that in July, the labour force survey comprised of 7 rotation groups instead of the usual 8. This is a result of 3 rotation groups exiting the survey after responding in June, while 2 new rotation groups entered the sample in July. So references to the June outgoing rotation group and the July incoming rotation groups are based on the combined results of those respective groups. There are no outgoing rotation groups in July, with 1 incoming rotation group in August. That'll bring the total sample back to 8 rotation groups in August. But with 7 rotation groups in play currently, that results in a smaller sample size in July, and so the standard errors on estimates are bigger. Yep. In other words, be careful not to overanalyze the minor movements and then try to push a narrative which the data does not support. Now, with these caveats out of the way, what can we draw from the release? Well, Alex Joyner over at IFM noted that soft employment data after a strong June print that was modestly revised, a fall in the part-time rate meant the unemployment rate only edged higher at 2 decimal places. The labour market is softening gradually, but is not loose. This allows the RBA time to assess policy settings on the economy. And Nick Stenner, Bank of America's head of Australia and New Zealand economics, which was quoted in the AFR, said, "This is a pretty clear indication that there is increasing slack in the labour market, and this should support disinflation." Not sure about that. And he also noted the uptick in the unemployment rate was consistent with the wage growth data released on Wednesday by the ABS, which showed private sector wages grew 3.1% for the year to June, their slowest annual pace since 2022. The weakness in private sector wages is actually consistent with an unemployment rate in the low to mid 5% range. But as I discussed recently, the public sector wages growth was faster, and they are, of course, a bigger share of the economy due to government policy. And elsewhere, Westpac wrote, "The broader trend remains one of gradual labour market rebalancing, with employment growth holding up reasonably well, but labour supply continuing to grow faster, pushing unemployment slowly higher." Remember, of course, migration is still pretty strong, so more people are coming into the country. Now, the hours worked are showing some clearer signs of weakness, suggesting firms perhaps are responding to softer demand by reducing workers' hours rather than cutting jobs. And looking at the ABS series, we saw a 16,000 person fall in employment, while the number of unemployed people rose by 4,000. The majority of the fall in employment came from males, which fell by 11,000 people, and there were 10,000 fewer males employed part-time and 1,000 fewer in full-time employment in July. Female employment recorded a smaller fall of just 5,000, with females employed part-time falling by 22,000, but full-time rising by 17,000. The trend underemployment rate rose marginally to 6.4% in July, while the underutilization rate grew by 0.1 percentage points to 10.8%. The participation rate and the employment to population ratio both fell by 0.16% in July to 66.85% and 63.87% respectively, and the hours worked fell 0.6% in July, with 12 million less hours worked this month, and those employed full-time working 7 million less hours, and those employed part-time working 5 million less. New South Wales and Western Australia were the main drivers of this fall, both down about 8 million hours. In fact, looking closer at the state data, the Victorian rate did post a post-pandemic high, sitting again at 5.1%. That's the highest level since the COVID-19 pandemic, while New South Wales' rate was almost a percentage point lower at 4.2%, despite a 0.3% percentage point increase. And by the way, in trend terms, trend unemployment marginally rose to 4.5%, but again, it's just in the roundings, not a big move, while trend employment grew by 0.2% and hours worked fell by just 0.1% in July. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers downplayed the rise in unemployment on Thursday, saying, "It's unsurprising to see unemployment ticking up a bit, given the challenges coming to us from around the world, he said. Of course, looking overseas for an alibi rather than government policy. And the Reserve Bank of Australia also has recently increased its longer dated unemployment forecasts in August on the back of a higher starting rate than its economists had previously expected. The central bank now expects the unemployment rate to rise to 4.8% by June 2028 and to remain there through to the second half of that year. That is significantly higher than the government's own forecasts, which were handed down in the federal budget in May, for unemployment rate to hit 4.5% in 2028. So there's a big difference. On Wednesday, the RBA Deputy Governor Andrew Hawser echoed Governor Michelle Bullock's warning that the Monetary Policy Board would have little choice but to raise interest rates if consumption and employment growth did not slow. We've seen a little bit of that slowdown so far, he said. We're going to need to see more to get inflation back. In other words, the RBA will need more evidence of an economic slowdown, including perhaps next week's inflation report, in order to hold the cash rate steady at 4.35%. So rate hikes are indeed still on the cards, and you should plan accordingly. And by the way, take the employment data series with a truckload of salt. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.